Defense Department agencies and the armed services have a tall order from the secretary. Robert M. Gates has called for $100 billion in spending reductions over the next 5 years. He wants to cut overhead and support costs so the funds can be redeployed to more direct warfighting needs. Now that the Program Objective Memoranda, or POMs, have been submitted by DOD components, we thought it would be a good time to check in with Jim McAleese, defense analyst and principal at McAleese & Associates. Mr. McAleese, great to have you on again.
Good morning, Tom.
Well, how, in fact, are we going to get this done in the Defense Department? $100 billion or $20 billion a year, and the secretary has specified how much for each armed services and how much for defense agencies. What happens now?
Well, first things first, I don't think it'll be that tough to achieve, even though there's a lot of public concern and reaction to the secretary's directive. When he announced his famous, what we now call the Eisenhower speech over in Kansas, I think the very first thing he did was to remind us that we all in the defense community, we've all benefited from basically a doubling of the funding in the DoD base budget since the war on terror began. That's separate from the money we've been receiving to fight in Afghanistan and fight in Iraq as well. So everyone has been the beneficiary of increased funding and support of national security, and obviously the secretary is increasingly sensitive to the needs of both the president in terms of his priorities and also the needs of the American taxpayer, who are under tremendous distress in terms of both the economy and also the families at home. So that's number one. Number two, the clear message that I thought was very important when he made the announcement was that we are not going to cut force structure. Now, these would be, you know, for the chief of staff for the Army, this would be the Army brigades, Commandant Conway for the Marine Corps, this would be his regiments, General Schwartz from the Air Force, this would be the Air Wings, or obviously CNO Admiral Ruffhead, this would be the number of Navy ships. Instead, what the secretary and the deputy secretary, Bill Lynn, are really targeting is not the force structure, and it's not modernization, which is the R&D money or the procurement. Those are the two historic zero-sum competitors against each other. Importantly, what the secretary has done instead is he's targeted overhead in the sense of what he considers to be excessive or duplicative headquarters and staff, what he calls tail. That's not part of the tooth, not part of the critical immediate fight. So that's number one. Number two, I think he was very disturbed by the growth in the O&M, the operations and maintenance accounts. We saw a 9% growth from $185 billion here in 2010 to $200 billion in 2011, and that doesn't even consider the $141 billion of O&M money that we're burning in the immediate war on terror.
And there's so many questions. One of the things that the secretary has named and didn't really outline that I've heard a policy for, and that is health care costs in the Defense Department.
Yes,
so what's
sir.
He likely to do about that?
I'm sure if he's listening, he's smiling right now. That the health care is actually paid for. This is why he's so focused on the O&M accounts. The health care is paid for out of DOD-wide account. That's what's beyond the control of the services, and it's called the Defense Health Program. The secretary has been particularly frustrated by what he perceives as the growth in cost, literally to the point of almost $200,000 per soldier, per Marine to support, not just in terms of the pay increases and the benefits. Now, these are important, of course, because you recruit the soldier, the Marine, but you reenlist the family. But he's been not upset about those costs, but he's very upset about the doubling and presumably tripling in the Defense Health Program. The premiums have not been allowed to be increased by Congress. There's a vast number of people that are entering the program. This is the TRICARE for Life type issue. Effectively, what we're doing is we're encouraging people to come into the service, and then we are fundamentally paying for the health care for themselves and for their family, effectively for the rest of their lives. And so I think it's that tail, that entitlement cost that I think he's looking to address. And I don't want to get – it's a very sensitive issue to him. It's a very sensitive issue to Congress, and I don't want to get between them, but it is clear there's going to have to be some sort of compromise eventually.
We're speaking with Jim McAleese, defense analyst and principal at McAleese & Associates. So what – it sounds like what you're saying, getting back to the O&M versus the overhead versus the acquisition accounts and the force structure, I mean, to have a force structure, you need hardware. So it sounds like beyond the cuts that the secretary has already achieved in some of the acquisition programs, like the F-22, they're still battling over the second engine, you know, for the F-35, but that's right. Kind of a minor point in the grand scheme of things. What is the effect of this program of cost-cutting in one area likely to mean for the area of what is purchased from contractors?
Right. I would tell your audience it's going to have two impacts. First of all, the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, and I'm a big fan of his, Dr. Carter. I think Dr. Carter is going to focus on overhead with the hardware contractors in terms of doing more without more and getting a better deal in terms of the profit relative to the risk on behalf of the American taxpayer. But I think there's a number of programs he's going to target. I think he's going to look at the Army, and he's going to be very, very closely scrutinizing the ground combat vehicle. I think in his mind, he's going to say, am I gold plating what is basically now a 70-ton infantry fighting vehicle, number one. Number two, I think he's going to look at the Navy, and he's going to say, what capabilities do we really need in the son of VH-71, the canceled presidential helicopter? That's going to be, is now what we call the VXX. Okay, and then the Air Force. Obviously, by the way, he is also targeting the Ohio class Boomer replacement for the Navy, which is called the SSBNX, which will go into production in about 2018, 2019. Air Force. He's looking particularly, I believe, at long range strike, particularly to make sure that the system is affordable. He's also looking at the combat search and rescue helicopter, the CSAR. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think he's particularly concerned about some of the very high-end ISR, intelligence surveillance reconnaissance programs, where we've had some cost growth that's troubling. And there, particularly the hot button for him is Global Hawk. So for the hardware guys, I think Dr. Carter is going to focus there, and particularly in his statutory authority at the what we would call the DAB, the Defense Acquisition Board decision, where he alone has the authority to allow a weapons program to go from development eventually into lucrative production. For your service contractors, I would give them a different category of areas where they probably should expect cuts. And I don't think these are going to come from Dr. Carter. I think he's going to focus on the hardware programs. I think the services themselves are going to be making the primary cuts within the professional services components. And I think there's six areas that the services are probably going to target, depending upon Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and of course, USAF.
Okay, let's have them real fast.
Yes, sir. Logistics is going to be one. That's about an $8 billion account. I think they're going to target training. That's going to be $13 billion. Clearly, base operations at $24 billion is going to be on the radar screen. Facility sustainment restoration at about $10 billion. And let me close by just warning people that I would, as we start trying to reduce costs by pulling military personnel out of commercial services and getting them back into the fight, the tooth, I would actually tend to expect more additional rounds of insourcing coming up, presumably to be announced when the next budget comes out as well.